I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, the person behind the PPE. It's National Nurses Day, and this year, nurses and all medical professionals have certainly earned a little extra recognition. Cicely Landis is a nurse at UNC Hospitals. In a video conference with reporters today, she described caring for COVID-19 patients in the ICU.
We have some nurses wearing N95 masks for 2 hours, and they're getting their little bruises on their nose. I mean, and even though these things are stressful and kind of unfortunate, we always say that we are thankful that we're not New York. We are thankful that we're not Washington. We're thankful that North Carolina kind of saw some of the writing on the wall and people did social distance. People are washing their hands. People are staying at home.
Meanwhile, as UNC's Chief Nursing Officer Kathy Madigan said, hospitals are monitoring the state's gradual reopening for any red flags, like a potential spike in cases.
Fortunately, we have flattened the curve in North Carolina a little bit, so it's not as much as we had predicted, but we're still going to be doing this for a while. And so now it's the dichotomy of how do we continue to take care of COVID patients as we also start to do surgeries and some other things that we've put off for a while.
So let's start there with Rose Hoban, editor of North Carolina Health News and also a registered nurse.
I have gotten choked up more than once in the past few months when I see what my nursing colleagues have been doing under incredible pressure. You know, it's really gratifying to me for people to kind of finally recognize the profession for what it is. You know, the WHO declared this the year of the nurse and midwife long before the coronavirus, because it's the 200th anniversary of the birth of Florence Nightingale, or Flo, as we call her. So this morning, UNC Healthcare did a briefing for reporters on the role of nurses in the COVID pandemic. And an ICU nurse from UNC Hospital in Chapel Hill, her name was Cicely Landis, was incredibly calm and matter-of-fact when she talked about how she has to put on her personal protective equipment and go into rooms where patients have COVID for 2 hours at a time to deliver care. She talked about how the nurses are now paired up. One nurse stays outside the hot zone and does things like documenting care and getting medications and equipment to pass off to the nurse who's, you know, working in the hot zone. And we've got a little bit of tape of her talking about the way it goes.
One person goes ahead and puts on either their capper or their N95 and their face shield and their gown and their gloves, and they go into what we call the high-risk zone, which is essentially an area marked off where all the COVID patients are. And that nurse will be in directly taking care of the patients, those two patients, for 2 hours straight. All she's doing is direct nursing care.
She also talked about the emotional toll it's taken on the nursing staff. You know, they're the ones who often set up those FaceTime calls to give loved ones an opportunity to say goodbye to their family members who are dying in the ICUs. You know, it's hard enough to watch patients dying, but doing it without having their family and friends surrounding them, you know, to hold their hands and whisper words of love and encouragement. I mean, to see people dying this way every day, like every frontline worker I've spoken to has said that this is the most terrible part of what they're seeing.
Mm. Yesterday, we heard that Governor Cooper is going to stage one of reopening North Carolina's economy. What struck you about that decision?
Well, he and Secretary Mandy Cohen are trying to show people the data behind their decisions. So they've got these charts to show people. I even saw a Twitter hashtag of hashtag Cohen charts. But it's good to see what's driving their decisions. It was encouraging to see a fall off in the number of people with COVID-like symptoms showing up in emergency departments. It's also encouraging to see that even as we're doing more testing, the percentage of cases that are coming up positive is diminishing and hospitalizations are relatively flat. Like that said, we still had 25 deaths reported from yesterday to today, and the number of new cases is still climbing, albeit more slowly. So, you know, they're trying to help people remember what they're doing, what to do. You know, they've been really consistent in their messaging. Stay at home. This is hard. Thank you. And now we have the three W's. Wear a mask, wait at a distance of 6 feet, and wash your hands often. You know, I think, Dave, like so much of this is a gamble, right? Cooper and Cohen are really walking a line. There's a pressure to reopen more quickly from the business community and from some of Governor Cooper's political opponents. But, you know, the economic damage is real, and there are people who've lost jobs and livelihoods and salaries, and it's brutal. Nonetheless, public opinion still shows that people are reluctant to go out. A WRAL poll done last week shows a majority of people are willing to stay home until June 1st. It was 52%, still a majority. And a Meredith College poll found that 75% of people said they don't want public schools reopened for this school year, and that same number supported the stay-at-home order being extended until the end of this week. So, I don't know. Are you ready to go to a restaurant?
No.
Right? You know, I'd love to have someone else cook for me, but, you know, that's what I have a husband for.
99 counties in North Carolina have now recorded at least one case of COVID-19, but the spread seems least concentrated in Western North Carolina. What is it about Western North Carolina that has made it less susceptible, and might they expect rising numbers down the road?
You know, our reporter Melba Newsom, who's out in Charlotte, she was watching the way that counties were getting filled in on the map, you know, and she had this concept that Graham County, where they had the roads in and out shut, might be the last county to register a positive case. So that's what she thought about when she first started writing the story. Well, that distinction actually goes to Avery County because Graham County got their first case. But they're both up in the northwestern mountains along the Tennessee border. Avery County's only got about 17,000 people. Graham County's even smaller. You know, what she found when she did her reporting was that a lot of health officials up there took decisive action pretty early on. And their rationale was that they didn't have the resources to take care of a lot of people if there was a big surge. Remember, western part of the state has seen hospital closures and units in hospitals closing. And, you know, it's so spread apart, so it's harder to get to healthcare facilities. You know, they're less well-resourced than people here on the interstate corridors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, like it turns out the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, who have reservation land in Swain and Jackson counties, they set up drive-through clinics where they screened almost 1,000 people. Like the town of Andrews put up physical barriers to prevent people from entering. And, of course, in Graham County, you had to apply for a permit to enter. So, you know, they've got the legal authority to do what they did, despite what critics might say. There's been really good guidance from experts at the UNC School of Government who've been busy cranking out opinions and blog posts that look at everything from public health law around road closures to what's the law say about maybe doing a public meeting via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think people have been relying on that information. And then, of course, you know, when it comes down to it, though, like these folks out in the western part of the state, they might end up being victims of their own success because they were able to keep the virus out or isolate it or stop it from spreading. So inevitably, there's going to be people who say, well, they overreacted. You know, it's that same conundrum that Cooper and Cohen are facing. You do too little and you get overwhelmed with deaths and then people blame you. Or you do too much and you don't get cases and people say, well, you overreacted. You know, it's that problem of how it's impossible to prove a negative. So, you know, it's worked in the western part of the state. And then we're going to see what happens, you know, after Friday when we get a little looser.
Rose Hoban is a registered nurse and the editor of North Carolina Health News. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi, I'm Kamaya Truitt. WUNC has made the decision to cancel our Spring Radio Fund Drive in order to provide all the important news and information that our listeners need right now, without any interruptions. If you're able to support WUNC now, please give what you can. Every dollar truly makes a difference, and it makes this podcast possible too. You can give online at WUNC.org. And thank you.
High school seniors have been missing out on their swan song events like final performances, sports, proms, and graduations. WUNC's Cole Del Charco has been collecting some of their stories for a feature called What I'm Missing. Ethan Gutensberger was one of the captains of the baseball team at Orange High School in Hillsboro when his season got cut short.
My whole senior year, I had been putting in work through the fall and through the winter. I've been doing different workouts, body-type workouts, baseball-related, catching-wise, hitting-wise, hitting often, doing throwdowns, blocking, just a bunch of different repetition type things. My junior year, I was basically the backup catcher. We finally got to play our first and second so games, and the season was going pretty well. Our team was learning from our mistakes. We were definitely building, picking each other up, getting through a lot, and talking about the future of our team and seeing what we could really do, because we definitely thought we had a lot of potential. When we reached our first conference game, I actually had 4 RBIs and played exceptionally well. And then all of that momentum going into the second conference game against East Chapel Hill, that's when it was all shut down, or at least postponed for the time being. In my mind at that time, it wasn't too hard to swallow, because all that really meant for us was we were going to have a long spring break, but our season is no longer, and that kind of impacts me severely, because this is about what all 4 of my years of baseball, or the 3 years before this were for, was for my senior year, for the year that we own the team. It's our team, and us as seniors, we really had to step up and show that we're going to do it this year, like we're going to make a run, and that's what we had been doing, and it hits like each individual person a lot differently, but for me, it definitely took me down a little bit, because I got to start 4 games my senior year, and I played pretty well, and then it was just taken away from me. I never got to prove myself, really. We talk about how we miss it all, and we kind of just all are still there for each other, how some people aren't feeling too well about it. Like, some people really get, like, affected a lot deeply than others, and we'll just be there for them and tell them that we'll always have each other's backs, we can always still hang out, and that'll keep us still going.
Ethan Gutensberger is a senior at Orange High School in Hillsboro. He plans to attend UNC Wilmington in the fall. You can hear more from high school seniors in their own words at WUNC.org. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.